I would like to suggest a thought, if you will, and I hope that we all now understood what the assembly is, and just for our young people, it is mentioned in the New Testament 77 times, the word assembly, and the word assemblies is mentioned 34 times. The first time is Matthew 16, the last time is Revelation chapter 22 and verse 16. We have heard that there is a purpose behind it, and I was wondering if I can bring a thought of purpose from 1 Corinthians 1. When he speaks to the assembly at Corinth, in verse 9, he says, God is faithful who has called us into the fellowship of his Son. And I truly believe this is the greatest purpose that God has in mind. Because when you go to Proverbs chapter 8, it says, and his delights is with the sons of men. And because his delight is with the sons of men, and it's all sovereign grace. This is why Ephesians chapter 1, to the praise of the glory of his grace. It is not because we were unique. It is not because we are better than other people. God forbid. We are most miserable. But God's grace, his sovereign grace, and with the purpose he purposed in himself, Ephesians chapter 1, he wanted to have a company to enjoy this fellowship of his Son. That fellowship is something positionally eternal. Everyone is part of it. But I always wonder, dear brethren, how could I enjoy practically the purpose of God in fellowship of his Son? And also 1 John chapter 1, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son in a practical way here on earth. It is one thing to talk about our position and purpose that we will occupy eternally. But I think it's a different aspect. Is how do I enjoy it presently? And I really believe that's why Acts 2:42 comes into the thought. That there is first the teaching, and that's the foundation of the fellowship. Young and old, we need to understand the truth of the assembly and what God has purposed as far as partnership with them. Word fellowship means partnership. Just think of that. It is a word partnership. But for me to enjoy it in a practical way, I have to have foundation. I need to understand what the scripture is teaching me in relationship to this blessed God and his beloved Son and the assembly and the body and the house and so forth so on. So there needs to be a foundation. So the second thing is the fellowship, and that's the enjoyment of it. That's how we show with one another that we're enjoying the purpose of God presently, is being together collectively and the Lord in the midst. And that's our portion eternally. Well, you think it's going to be something different? I think he's going to be the center here and eternal. So it's going to be the same thought. But how could I enjoy it? In fellowship. It's enjoyment of it. When it comes to breaking bread, it's the expression of it. It is the expression of that wonderful fellowship that God had in mind. And when it comes to prayer, it's the maintenance of it in a practical way. In a practical way, dear brother, nobody can maintain fellowship other than the blessed God. But you know what? God has given us this privilege of prayer so that we can pray. So we have heard, I think we have set the foundation that the purpose of God, you mentioned before, Brother Bob, that God has given his Son this assembly. And that assembly will be his eternal portion. And we will enjoy that. And I don't recall thinking of what is eternal other than being one of the bride of Christ. I don't think the character of being called out will disappear. I'm sure because we're not anymore in the sphere of called out ones. We need to be reminded of this world and we're not out of this world. It is the thought of the last thing mentioned is the bride say come. So there's the thought of the bride. But also you say, Brother Bob, that the Lord Jesus in return, God has given us to him as the assembly, but in return, God has given this same company, which is the assembly, I'm coming to the purpose, to the blessed Father and God as sons. Amen. So God has a fellowship, Son enjoying fellowship, we're enjoying fellowship, and that is the purpose of God eternally, that there will be fellowship between God and his
sons. Next to the last verse in the Bible, that he may be my son. We're sons of God by adoption. We are holy priests, all in the body of Christ, the assembly. And how wonderful that is. That's an eternal thought. Lord Jesus, God Father wants the Lord Jesus to bring many sons to glory, but you don't have to get the glory. You're a son of God down here, whereby we cry, Abba Father.
I'd like to continue on this line with regards to purpose, and very often when we think of purpose, and not to minimize the benefits and the privileges that are accruing to us, but there are purposes that go beyond ourselves. I'm thinking of Ephesians 3, is that God is wanting to display and educate principalities and powers through the assembly. That God is using this called out company to be an education, an object lesson, principalities and powers. That's purpose way beyond just our personal experience. Mm-hmm. That's one. Mm-hmm. In chapter 2, another purpose, verse 10, we are his workmanship. God hath, that we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in. That God has an agenda. He has a program. He has a list of things, a to-do list, that he has prepared beforehand. And he is expecting the assembly to be instrumental in carrying it out. What happens is when you start to think it in these global great terms, we start to understand what we've been called to. And then we start to say, Lord, why? And it's by grace. And then we say, Lord, give me the grace to carry it forward. And there's others in Ephesians. Those two just popped out to me.
The apostles gave great witness to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. We see signs, we preach Christ and then crucified. Well, that's nice. That's not the gospel. If Christ be not risen, you're still in your sins. Not only that, the birthday of the church is from the ascension of Christ, the man in the glory. The gift of the Holy Spirit is from the ascended Christ, not from the crucified Christ, as wonderful as that is. Don't minimize the crucifixion, because that's where the work of redemption was accomplished. Never minimize that at all. But Christ is no longer upon the cross, no longer in the tomb, but raised up by God the Father's glory. But further than that, he has ascended. Look, ye saints, the sight is glorious. There's a man in heaven. And that's the birthday of the church, the gift of the Spirit of God.
Brother John, not only do we have the purpose and function of the Father, we have the purpose and the function of the Son. We cannot minimize the Holy Spirit. Because we did not read in Acts chapter 2, in the early portions of the chapter, that the Holy Spirit, they were to tarry at Jerusalem until the promise of the Father should come. And of course, there's no tarrying today. You know, some people, I won't mention any names, say they're going to wait for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has come. And the Holy Spirit has an important role, first of all, in our conversion, an important role in our salvation, because we're born of the Spirit. And so our regeneration, Titus 3:5, being born again of the Spirit, washed of the water by the Word, and so on. But not only our regeneration, our salvation, it also speaks to the role of the Holy Spirit in placing us into the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, it says that we are, by the Spirit, baptized. The word baptized simply means to be dipped or placed into the one body. And so each of us, whether Jew or Gentile, have been placed into this body by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And then another function of the Holy Spirit we saw in Acts chapter 2, when the promise of the Father would come, we saw that the Holy Spirit began to weld into this verse 8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And so our conversion, our indwelling individually and collectively, and the Holy Spirit baptizing us into the body of Christ. All of this is essential. And we also need the power of the Holy Spirit to live lives that are quality lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need his ministry every single day.